So this afternoon, on my way up here, I was just riding in my car, and I started to pray about prophetic, and the Lord just sat down on me, and I don't know if it was an angel, the Holy Spirit, or what, but he spoke to me on the way up here about moments of nobility. That phrase just came up in my spirit. I'd never heard that before, but the Lord started talking to me about moments in which you catch a glimpse of something that the Lord has for you that you might not have ever imagined before, but that moment grips you so powerfully that it can shape either the next season or the rest of your life. I had one of these moments when I was somewhere around maybe 6 years old. I wasn't even saved. I didn't get saved until I was 21. But at that time, in a church that, you know, in a denomination I have not darkened the doors of in many years, and, you know, I saw a video about the Protestant Reformation. In that video, there was a scene where there was a man, it showed a room at night, and, you know, in the Middle Ages, so lit up by only like one candle. And there was a man wearing like monk's robes, you know, something like Martin Luther might have worn. And in this video, he's kneeling, you know, and the Bible is open and he's praying, you know, clearly late at night or in the wee hours of the morning. And I remember seeing that. And I remember being so gripped with the idea that to be on my knees before the Most High God, you know, when no one else, when the world was asleep, was one of the most noble things. It just gripped me. And I've remembered that my entire life. And one of the driving purposes of my life is to come boldly before the throne of grace where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But I remember that moment. And the Lord told me to look up the meaning of noble, the definition of noble. And so I did, and this is what it says. Belonging to a hereditary class with high social or political status, aristocratic, having or showing fine personal qualities or high moral principles and ideals, righteous, virtuous, good, honorable, upright, decent, worthy, moral, ethical, and reputable. Noble. And what that meant to me when I read that was a moment of nobility is something where the Lord shows you who he has ordained you to be as that high class of chosen royal priests. You understand that's who you are. You are part of the royal family of God, adopted into the heavenly family. You know, if someone asked you, who's the royal family in heaven, you might say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But actually, it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Barbara. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Lisa. See, we are part, that is who we are. We are born and birthed into Christ. And so the Lord was just telling me, I wanted to tell you guys, ask the Lord and look for moments of nobility when the Lord visits you with this vision of the noble and high calling that he has placed on your life. It may not be anything you've ever conceived of before, but it will be that one thing that if you will give your life for that one thing. I remember seeing Bill Johnson preach a sermon and about hosting the presence, and in that sermon, he talked about a dove, if the Holy Spirit were a dove actually sitting on your shoulder, and you wanted to preserve that presence, then all of your movements and all of your words would be with the one goal in mind, to preserve the presence of the dove and to host him. And in the sermon, Bill Johnson said that he had heard someone else preaching this about hosting that presence and carrying the glory of God, carrying, being a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, not just in you, but on you, always. And I remember that he said in this sermon, when he heard that, he was so gripped in his heart that he cried out to God, Lord, I will give my entire life for this one thing. A moment of nobility, a moment in which you see the high calling that God has for your life. And it will so grip your heart that if you will give yourself to it, it will change the rest of your life. This is our inheritance as sons and daughters, even of Pastor Ron. Did you guys know that there is an angel named Noble who has actually visited him, that he has physically seen and has talked to him? Noble. The high calling. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Noble. Set your minds and keep them set on things above where Christ is.
Hang on, I'm going to do tissue ministry.
I remember being gripped with another thing like this. When I used to study, I mean, I study all the time, but when I studied and everything was new because I was a new believer, you know, and I had never understood. I didn't get saved till I was 21, so, you know, and I had never understood before, and the Bible had never been appealing to me before, and all of a sudden I started opening it, and even one verse at a time, the Lord began to minister to me. And I remember Psalm 27. And Psalm 27, verse 4 became the one driving passion of my life. "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Hallelujah. What one thing has the Lord called you to? We live batting at shadows, boxing at shadows, thinking we are... to do so many different things, when really the Lord has ordained each of us to fit one place in the body perfectly. One place. You know, with Teresa, it may be healing. You know, with others, whatever it is, worship, or maybe it's just, you know, the ministry of the word. Maybe nobody has ever seen you and never will see you, but you're the one at night with the candle and the Bible assailing the throne of grace with your prayers. What is that one thing? Ask the Lord, he will show you. And then spend your life on that. Pour out your life. Ask God for a 10, and don't tell me, "Oh, but I've got a job, and I've got family, and I've got..." Look at all the people that have changed history, that have shaped the course of history. They had families, they had jobs. Jonathan Edwards had, I forgot how many it was. It was over 10, it might have been 12 or 17 children. I forgot how many he had. You know what he did? He made appointments with every child every night and said, "You come and you sit on my lap and we're going to talk." And those children, if you ever have seen a list of the descendants of Jonathan Edwards, it's like university presidents and Supreme Court judges and, I mean, you name it, governors, and, I mean, massive numbers of really qualified, educated, influential people. But Jonathan Edwards poured out his life. He even died young. He was in his low 50s when he died in the 1700s. He poured out his life for this one thing, that he would have the presence of God. He would preach the word. Think of so many people. Even now, influential people. One of my favorites is Lou Engle. Does anybody know who Lou Engle is? So he's an intercessor who leads the call and is leading massive prayer movements, global prayer movements now, fasting and prayer. And he's got a bunch of kids, but he still pours out his life for this one thing. And his one thing for a long time was, "Jesus, I plead your blood over my sins and over the sins of my nation in abortion, send revival in America." And then that season came to an end. But he had been gripped at that season, before that season ever started, he was gripped by a vision of seeing a million people on the mall in Washington to fast and pray for the ending of abortion in America. And that shaped at least a decade of his life. And then there came another moment when the Lord gripped him with Matthew. I think it's Matthew 28, but I don't know, Matthew 9 somewhere. But the verse that says, pray the Lord of the harvest to thrust out laborers into the harvest. And that Greek word is ekbalo, and that name ekbalo for thrust out has become the name of the prayer movement that he is now raising up, that has shaped the next, many years. He's been preaching this ekbalo word now. Pray the Lord of the harvest to thrust out laborers. He had a moment of nobility where he saw the thing that God had called him to, and he's pouring out his life. So I'm not going to keep talking just for the sake of talking, but I feel like I should lead you in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I call forth the vision, God, of the noble and high calling that you have called each one of us unto. And I command that vision to manifest in the heart and spirit of every person in Jesus' name. I bless your hearts and your spirits to open to receive the vision from the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. God, I pray that we would receive, that, Lord, we would see the one thing, God, that you have called us to do, that you would give us a sold-out spirit, that we would be willing to spend our lives at the feet of Jesus. God, we choose to lay our little lives down at your feet. Grip us, God, with the high calling. Father, I pray that each one of us would forget those things that are behind and press on to those things which are ahead. That like Jesus, we would look, we would see the prize, God, and that we would pour ourselves out for you. And I ask that as we do, God, you'd perfect all things that concern us. Give us wisdom, God. Teach us how to walk. Teach us how to live. Order our steps in your word, God. But give us this one thing, that we would be gripped for you, Jesus. That whatever our place is in the body, we would be willing to spend everything we have for the sake of your eternal kingdom. We love you, God, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Does that mean anything to you guys? One more announcement I forgot. Next week at 5:00 in this room, there is an altar counselors meeting. Chris Porter will be sending out the email tomorrow about that. So if anybody is an altar counselor, please be here 5:00 next week. Also next week at Prophetic, 5:30, we will be talking about protocol. Some people have asked, well, what is protocol? And, it really should be actually codified. So we are in the process of writing that down. And we will be presenting the Prophetic Ministry Covenant. The deacons have a covenant that they sign. The altar counselors have a covenant that they sign. The prophetic ministry has not had a covenant. That was actually Kirk Moose's idea, and Pastor Sammy thought that was a good idea. So we are drafting a covenant, and everyone who is in the prophetic ministry, who wants to be in the prophetic ministry, whether you are brand spanking new and you just want to get involved on an ongoing basis, or whether you've been here a gazillion years, whatever, everybody's going to need to sign the covenant. And we're going to talk about that, about what's the expectation, and how we handle prophetic ministry here at Abba's House, okay? And so please be here. It's very important. 5:30 next week, and 5:00 if you're an altar counselor. Okay, bless y'all. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.